Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 23. Hebrews 11, verse 23. Says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this word today. We thank you for our mothers and for motherhood, Lord, that you have established in your wisdom and your love. And we just pray, Lord, you'd just bless us from your word this day. Help us to gain a renewed appreciation of all that you have done for us and all that you have provided for us through our mothers, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Mother's Day has been celebrated in our country for about 100 years, and it's been celebrated for a good reason. It is a day that we set aside to honor our mothers and motherhood itself. And such a practice, we would recognize, would have a biblical basis to it, because the fifth of the Ten Commandments were to honor and our father and our mother. And of course, having one day a year in which we show our appreciation to our mothers does not mean by any means that we should spend the other 364 days ignoring or neglecting or dishonoring our mothers, but rather having this day set aside is good for us. It serves as a yearly reminder to us of what an important part our mothers played in molding us into who we are today. And the scriptures speak much of motherhood, both in showing the value and significance of motherhood, but also in providing us very examples of godly mothers. And for today, we want to focus on one mother specifically, and from her life draw some conclusions as to some of the blessings that a godly mother provides. And the one of whom we speak is the mother of Moses. And she's spoken of in the passage that we read in Hebrews 11, but her story is primarily found in the book of Exodus, chapter 2. So if you turn there with me. And in this passage, she is actually not even named. We find out later, Exodus chapter 6, her name is given. Her name is Jochebed. Jochebed. Name means Jehovah glories. But we see, as we begin her story, beginning in verse 1, and this, of course, was a time in which the children of Israel were slaves, and the Pharaoh was concerned that they would multiply exceedingly and that they would be a threat to them. And, of course, nothing could be further than the truth. But because of that paranoia, he determined to make them into slaves, and he also determined that all the male children were to be put to death. But we see, beginning in verse 1, it says, there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son, and we saw him that he was a goodly child. She hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go, and the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away, and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. And so this mother, Jochebed, she lived in a very difficult time, we recognize. She was born a slave. And her children as well were going to be born slaves. But of course, any that were male children, that were boys, were to be put to death. That was the decree made by the Pharaoh. And they had, the midwives and others had done their best to try to circumvent that. But we find that he was putting it all the more in force to try to prevent the Hebrews from becoming a stronger people. And of course, you think of it as very much counterproductive in a lot of ways, because you think, well, if he's going to use them as slaves, would it make more sense to have more male children that could do more of the work? And enacting something like this, wouldn't that cause these people to be more inclined to rebel against them than if they treated them favorably? But of course, there's a lot of things that occur that don't make a lot of sense. And it's due to evil and due a lot of times to the devil's working and trying to cause a harm amongst people as well. But at any rate, we see that it was a time in which it was very difficult to be among. But we recognize that it is often through adversity that true character shines the brightest. And it is here we see Jochebed's motherly instincts kick in immediately. And we witness one of the things which a godly mother provides, and that is protection. Protection. And we see this aspect of mothering evident even in the animal kingdom. We can think of a mother hen with her chicks, that if they're out in the open and a storm is coming, that the mother hen will call her chicks and have them all nestle under her wings. And while the storm passes over, she will bear the brunt of the storm, even to the point sometimes that she might perish in the storm from exposure. But when the storm passes, her chicks emerge unscathed from underneath her wings. And you think about it, God uses that which is common to us, which is known to us, to illustrate his own sacrificial and selfless love to us. He speaks of how that we can hide under his wings. And we think of what Jesus said when he wept over Jerusalem. He said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that be sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thee as a hen gathers chicks under her wings, and ye would not. And so we understand that. We recognize that. And I can testify as well just with witnessing our goats becoming mothers for the first time this year, of the protection that they provide their kids. That for whatever reason, goats don't seem to like each other's kids very much, and so they'll usually try the goats, the kids, they seem happy-go-lucky to everyone, but a lot of times the other ones will try to butt them and actually try to harm them to get them to keep their distance. But we found that one of the adult goats might butt them once, but they don't usually get a chance to butt them twice, because right away the mother comes and we witness some pretty epic clashes as a result of just that motherly instinct of protecting their own. And in the same way, all of us, I think, can testify of various times as we grew up of the protection that was given to us by our mothers. And even the willingness to stand between us and harm's way. And of course, growing up, we're generally oblivious to many dangers around us. That there's a lot of things that we attempt to do, things we attempt to ingest, that at different times our mother says, stop, don't do that, and pulls us away, pulls us to safety. And we realize so many times of how our mothers have stepped up to bat for us. They've been our advocate in different things. And if there is ever a time that there is someone else that attempts to inflict harm upon us, we've witnessed that kind of mama bear instinct that kind of comes to the fore. And we certainly would not want to be on the receiving end of that, of the fury that a mom can pour out on someone that would endanger her children. And we see this with Moses' mother, Jochebed, and the testimony given of her in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, that of her and her husband, that this was something that they did by faith, that they hid their child for 3 months because he was a proud child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. That you think about, that they were slaves, that they had no power themselves, to no way of trying to come before a court to try to get their rights heard. They had so much power set against them, and this was the king's commandment. It was very clear. There was no misunderstanding of it. But it says they were not afraid. That they decided, no, we are not going to allow that to happen. That this child is precious to us, and we are going to do everything that we can to preserve his life. And so you see that, just really the fearlessness of this mother for the sake of her child. And as well, we see just kind of a great deal of creativity she had in finding ways to protect him. That she hid him for 3 months when he was just an infant. But of course, with any infant, that they start to make a lot of different noise. And so she's like, okay, I need to find a way to still protect him. And so what did she do? Is she actually made this ark out of bulrushes. She dotted the slime with pitch, and she put the child in and laid in the flags by the river's bed, a place where it would generally be undetected, a place where it would not be washed away, a place of safety. And so as we think that, of just all that she did to protect her child, that she is very much worthy of her commendation. And as we see in the passage here in Ezekiel chapter 2, that God honors Jochebed, and through his merciful providence, he provides deliverance for her son. That the basket in which Moses was laid, was placed in a certain place, was guarded by his older sister. But we find that it was discovered. But who was it discovered by? Not by soldiers, not by someone that would inflict harm, but rather it was found by the daughter of Pharaoh himself. And when she opened the basket and saw what was inside, and the babe wept, it, we find that she had compassion on him. Said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. And she knew the law just as well that her father had given it, but she said, I am going to place this child under my protection. I am going to adopt him as my own. And so we find, and kind of part is due to the quick thinking of his older sister Miriam, that she runs up to him and says, oh, do you want to have a nurse for this child? And she says, sure, go find one for me. And so, of course, what does sister do? Finds the mother of the child, her mom, and brings him to the daughter of Pharaoh, and the daughter of Pharaoh says, well, please look after this child for me, and I will pay thee my wages. So here, not only is her child now safe and protected, now can she actually look after him in safety, but she's actually getting paid to do it too, which is just such an incredible thing. And we see just God's mercy, God's blessing, just God's providence in all of this and making this happen. And so when we think of that, of course, we would recognize that she would rejoice in this providential deliverance of her son. But as well, we would recognize that her rejoicing would be bittersweet, because she would know that she would be able to hold this babe in her arms for a few years and care for him. But then after that, she would have to give him up. He would no longer be considered her child anymore. That she would no longer be able to have a part in his life and to be able to visit him or see anything. But what was happening to him, that he would be taken from her. And so she would only have a very short time to be with him. But we recognize that Jochebed made the most of the time that she had. That we don't know how long it was in those days, and in that culture it seemed that they went longer than we tend to do with weaning their child. But we see that she made the most of that time. And in that we see really another aspect of what a godly mother provides her children, and that is preparation. Preparation. And we recognize that while all mothers have that protective instinct, it is obvious that a mother cannot hover over their children for the rest of their lives. That, of course, we would say that there might be some that would attempt to do so, but we know at a certain point that just it doesn't work anymore, that you can't continue to do that forever. And a mother cannot isolate their child from all dangers and challenges he or she might face, and that's not what she should do either. But something that a mother can always provide, and as God has placed her in that child's life for the purpose of, is to provide preparation and instruction. So for their child, that as they step out in the world and they face many challenges and have to make many challenging decisions, that they will make the right choice in time to come. And all of us, I think, can testify as to the things that our mothers have taught us and demonstrated to us over the years, which have prepared us for life. There's some just kind of basic things of how to look after ourselves, how to clean up after ourselves, how to treat people with respect, and people to watch out for. People to be aware of dangers that they might face. And then we think as well of other things, of deeper things, of teaching us about the Lord, teaching us how to pray, teaching us how to have a relationship with God and be a testimony in our words and our lives to other people. Just all that they can pass on to us can be such a blessing. And you think with all of us, that all of us could probably fill volumes of different things, that sayings that our mothers said to us that stick in our mind, that have helped us even when we're older to guide us, things that they have done that helped us along the way, that we look back to and are thankful for what they've done. And it is a legacy that our mothers leave to us even long after they have passed from this world, that they continue, their words continue to follow us, their prayers continue to follow us, and we can be so thankful for that. That we realize God has established the family and all aspects of the family for a reason. God provides those early years of nurturing by mothers to be a time in which much instruction can be given. And as it speaks of in Isaiah chapter 28, Isaiah chapter 28, verses 9 and 10, for it says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, and there a little." And that's the thing, is that as a child, that there's not much that a child can understand from the beginning, but the mother is given the opportunity to lay that foundation from when they're very young, of just what they can take in, of passing down that understanding, here a little, there a little, to be able to share the truth, bit by bit, day by day. And in doing so, a mother passes on this knowledge, this instruction, to the child in the formative years. And it is that basis of instruction that is provided to each child that really serves as the basis of their life in the many years ahead. And we see that with Jochebed, and it's something really to consider, that she had just a few short years with her son. And then what happened is that he was taken away, that he was adopted in the family of the rulers, that he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter, that he had all these privileges, that before he was a slave, that he had no rights, that his life was forfeit to him, that the only future he had was to work and to work and to work and then to pass from this life. Nothing, no chance of advancement, no hope for the future. But as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, He had all the rights in the world, all the privileges he could imagine, all the food that he could partake of. He would have, instead of being one who served others, he would have all these people that would now serve him, that he would never want for anything. He would have everything that he could ever want in life. And he would have what everyone else around him would wish that they could have, that place of privilege, that place of prosperity, that to be able to enjoy that. It's like, why would he ever remember where he came from? Why would he ever remember his mother? Why would he ever remember that he was even Jewish? Why did he not forget all of that and accept what he had? But what do we find happened in Hebrews chapter 11? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 26, for it says, by faith Moses, when he was called, come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That really, as we contemplate those words and we think about it, he was born a slave, now he was royalty. His life was set. He could have everything he wanted. He could be waited on hand and foot. But what did he do? He turned his back on it all. He says, I am not the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That he would, and I'm sure that Pharaoh's daughter did as much as she could to be a good mother to him in that sense, but he would not accept that title. He would not accept that position. That he said, no, I am the son of a slave. I am the son of Jochebed. I am a Hebrew, and I am going to identify with them. That you think of it, that it cost him everything from the world's viewpoint. He had everything that you could ever want to have, and he turned his back on all of it. And why would he do that? That doesn't make any sense. But we see that he did it by faith. And what did he have faith in? He had faith in the God that his mother taught him. That he knew what was real. He knew that all these things of this world, all these riches and all this other stuff was just stuff. It wasn't worth pursuing after. It was empty. That if he was to turn his back on his people, he would miss on the destiny that God had for him. That God had a plan for him and a purpose. And probably even at that time, he didn't understand it completely. And I'm sure his mother didn't understand completely all that God had in store for him. But he was someone that God had chosen to lead his people from slavery to freedom. And so we find that when it came to this time where he could have had, he had his whole life in front of him, that perhaps if he had accepted it, perhaps he could even have been the Pharaoh of Egypt at some point in history, that we could dug up his tomb and find him with this elaborate golden sarcophagus and everything else upon him. But instead, we find that he said that he would rather suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. That he was willing to suffer with his people. He was willing to suffer reproach. That he had respect in the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Egypt, which at that time was the most powerful, the greatest and most advanced civilization that the world had ever seen, that he turned his back on all of it. And he wasn't fearing the wrath of the king. And he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That he had an understanding of the one true God. Even though he would have been bombarded as soon as he came into the palace of Egypt with all the false gods of the Egyptians. That that instead that he had that basis, that understanding, that faith in the one true God. And how did he get that? How did he see the one that was invisible? It was because his mother taught him about that God that was invisible. Taught him the truth. Taught him who he was as a person. Taught him about the promises that God had made to his people. That so much, and we have really no sense of, or in terms of a record of what specifically his mother taught him. And she did had a very short time, but we know the effect that it had by the man that Moses became. That it was because of what the time that his mom spent, just a short time, but it made such a difference. It made him the man that he was. It made it so he came to a point that he made the right decision. And it came to a point where he was in a position where God could use him, and God used him mightily. And we think of it now of just what we know of Moses now, the man that he became, the man of God, that it speaks of him in Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34. And verse 10 says, "And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, and all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants, and to all his land, and all that mighty hand, and all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel." And just the testimony that he had, that the difference that he made in his nation, that ever after that the Jewish people look at Moses as being one of their greatest leaders. That just the difference that he made of leading his people from slavery to bondage to staying with them. That there is even times where God said, "Step out of the way, Moses, let me consume these people. They are wicked." And he interceded on behalf of the nation. Just the difference that he made. And how was he prepared for that? How was he enabled to do that? It was through his instruction of his mother that he gave as he was a boy, growing up on his mother's knee. What she passed along stuck, and it made such a difference to his life, to the life of his nation, and to history itself. And so we see that with Jochebed, that she was just doing what a mother should do. She was trying to do her best, and we find that she did great things. And that's so often, as you see in the scriptures, that it gives a testimony of that you have great kings, different ones like David and Hezekiah and other things, and it'll always say, "And his mother's name was this," giving the sense that made a difference who his mother was, and it made a difference who Moses' mother was. That she gave him the protection that he needed when he was young. That she did everything he could to preserve his life. And then as well we see that she prepared him for life. Helped him to see the way things were. Showed him the truth. Guided him to know right from wrong. Guided him so he would know, have the truth, so he could make the right decisions. And so as we consider this, I want it to be an encouragement to all of you as mothers that sometimes that it can seem like a bit of a drudgery. It might seem like it's not making a big difference at this time. Sometimes you have it where lots of things happen. You can spend hours making a good meal and then the kids turn their nose up at it. That you try to do something nice, or you're trying to guide their life and get them to do right, and they say, "Oh, you're being mean to me. You're a bad mummy because you told me I couldn't hit my brother," and all these other things. That there's so much like that that it can sometimes get us down, sometimes can discourage us. But I want to encourage you to be persistent, to know that your labor of love is not in vain. It will not be forgotten. That as you're faithful in what God has called you to do as a mom, it's going to make a difference. And you may not see it immediately. And you think of it with Jochebed, that she probably, we don't know how long she lived. She lived a life of a slave. She was worked to the bone. How long she lived, it's unlikely. She probably lived to see the Exodus. Her son Moses was 80 years old when he led his people out of Israel, so it's not likely she was alive at that time. But we find that her influence, what she accomplished, lasted much longer than her life. And it was by what she imparted to her children. And we think as well, not only of Moses, but also of Aaron, who was the high priest, and Miriam, who was a leader herself of the women amongst the children of Israel. And she was persistent. She did what she needed to do. She did what she could. We recognize that. And she did all that she could. And the Lord honored what she did and made a great difference. And who knows what will happen with your children, just how God might use them in time to come, that we can't predict everything that God has for our children, why He has placed them on this earth, what specifically His plan is for them. But we, as a mother, you can know that I have a part to play in this. I need to prepare them for whatever it is that God has for them to do. And so I need to be persistent and patient to train up my child in the way that he should go, so that when he is old, he will not depart from it. And it's something to think. Who knows what God might do with our children, how he might use them. But how important it is, the role that you as a mother play in preparing them and in protecting them. And so I encourage you to make the most of that time, to value it, to surround your children in prayer, and trust that God can bless and God can work, and your efforts will not be in vain. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time, Lord, and just for your great blessings to us, Lord. We thank you for the mothers that you have given to each of us, Lord. We know that none are perfect, Lord, that they have their faults and struggles themselves, but we thank you for how you use them to bless our lives, to prepare us for life. And we just pray your blessing upon them. Just help them in their ministry they have to their children, Lord, when they're young and even as they grow older, that you might use them mightily for your sake. We just pray your blessing upon us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's turn to one last hymn before we...